Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And we're back live in Las Vegas. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you at Circa Resort and Casino. We'll get back to the Royals here in about 25 minutes or so. This 20-game stretch that they are about to embark on that ultimately could decide whether or not they make it in the postseason and certainly whether they win the American League Central. But let's talk some football. Let's talk some football contests. And let's talk about the place we are at all week long and having a great time at Circa. We've got the owner and CEO of Circa Sports, Circa Resort Casino, Derek Stevens, stopping by, a big Lions fan as well. So it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for having us out here. This has been unbelievable. It is sports heaven for us.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on the show. And, yeah, thanks for coming out. What a weekend this has turned into. You know, football contest sign-up weekend, Radio Row here. I think Aaron told me we got 37 different stations and football podcasts out. It's pretty amazing. So this for us is the official kickoff of football weekend, and everybody's excited. Everybody's jumping into the 2 football contests, Circa Millions, Circa Survivor. So it's been fun.
When you look at some of the contest stuff, you're the guy I feel like I got to ask first. Like, you got tips? Like, what's we're in? You got some tips for me? I mean, you know, you got to try to figure out a way how to stay alive. How about in the picks? What's the mistake you think people make the most in the Circa Millions?
In the Circa Millions, well, unfortunately, this is going to be an answer that's not going to inspire anybody. But the number one mistake people make in the Circa Millions is not having a proxy. And forgetting to put their picks in.
Oh my God! I can't believe people do that.
It's you know what? We're guaranteeing $6 million this year in Circa Millions. So this is where you know you're picking 5 games against the spread every week. You have to register in Las Vegas, but you can play from anywhere.
Okay.
So you register here, and then downstairs at the sportsbook, there's proxies everywhere. They're like doing office hours right now, right?
Yeah, I just saw them posted up in the middle of the
book. They're just posted up, right, exactly. So there's proxies all over, a lot of really great proxies. And a lot of people just say, no, I'm going to get it in, or I've got a buddy that lives here, or I know a bartender at some place and all that. It's baffling to me how many people just forget to put picks in. And I realize there's something that trumps putting your football pick in. It's called life.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's called you know, you could have a flat tire. You know, your phone might be out of cell service. You may have an issue where your son or daughter has practice early, 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, and twist an ankle and you have to go to urgent care. You know, you lose your thought process. But that's what proxies are for. They're there to help you, be a consultant, all that. And that's the number one thing. So, yeah, I can tell you it's not the sexiest answer, but that's the number one.
No, that's a good answer. I don't have I mean, that makes sense to me. We talk about it even in, like, local small survivor pools where you're like, well, you're not going to make a pick? What'd you put your money in for?
Right.
If you're not going to pick a team at least to continue to advance, you know?
I would say the Circa Millions, what's pretty amazing about it is it's obviously this traditional to pick five games against the spread a week. So 18 weeks, so you have 90 selections over the course of the year. You get a full year's worth of action. $6 million is guaranteed. About $1.2 million of that is guaranteed in the quarterly payout. So we break the football season down to 4 quarters. First quarter is weeks 1 through 4. Second quarter is 5 to 9. And it's $1.2 million we're guaranteeing in this quarterly payouts. And what's nice about that is that let's say you just get hot for a little period, you get an opportunity to get a cash. There's 126 caches in the Circa Millions. So I kind of recommend the Circa Millions to everyone. You're guaranteed a season-long.
Something to constantly play for.
Yeah. And, you know, even if you start lousy, you still got a lot to play for because the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter prizes. So That's the contest that historically is, you know, it's been around 40 years effectively. That's the one I recommend everybody get in. At least if you're going to pick one, that's the one.
We know that they get a blue jacket for being one of the winners for it. Do they get the opposite? Because we know that one of the prizes for it is finishing last. We know you can cash for being the worst team. Do they get an opposite prize, like a different color jacket?
Yeah, you're talking about the booby prize.
That's right.
Yeah.
The booby prize, no, there's no jacket. You do get a lot of media attention. It's probably akin to, you know, in the seventh round of the NFL, Mr. Irrelevant. You get a little fame and fortune. You get to stay out here. You get to do a lot of media. Everybody wants to know, you know, how were you that terrible? Now, what I tell people, the reason why the individual that wins the booby prize is people want to be around whoever this contestant is so much because it's just as hard be the worst as it is the best. You know, if you go 60 and 30, well, going 30 and 60 is just as hard. You know, so there's something to it. And I think as you get through the season, let's say week 8, week 9, a lot of sports bettors, you know, they start following and you know, fading maybe the top 10. But they all start following the bottom 10, and it is really amazing to see how this plays out and evolves over the course of a season.
We've got Derek Stevens, the owner, CEO of Circa, joining us here from Circa Resort and Casino. Ultimate Contest Weekend, talking about Circa Survivor, talking about Circa Million as well. And here in the Kansas City market, sports betting became legal in Kansas about 2 years ago. Missouri's got it on the ballot in November. So the stigma of sports betting has changed. It doesn't exist anymore, really. And more people, even for our show, were incorporating sports betting. And you guys, I'm sure, whether it's this contest weekend or anything else on a weekly basis, you guys just noticing that more and more interest in it than ever before?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think like you said, I think a lot of things have changed in the United States and culture over the last 20 years, last 10 years. And then when PASPA was overturned, that really changed everything, because when that happened and sports betting became legal in many states, it changed the dynamics of media. And you know, the big national companies that are showing that have the rights for Major League Baseball or for NFL or college football, now they're talking about things they would never talk about, with, like, things, for example, point spreads, over-unders, the totals, you know. So when you put a point spread on a television screen, or you put a total on a television screen, what happens is it gives someone an opinion, and everybody thinks the number's wrong. Wait, that's too low, or wait, that's too high. Well, you posted 47, you know, in, you know, Chiefs at home, you know, let's say on a Thursday night, you post a total, and everybody goes, oh no, Mahomes is going to roll. Are you kidding? Rice is going to hit that. And we got the fastest guy in the history of the NFL right now. They're going to roll over. This is an easy over. And on the other hand, you got people like, 47, this is crazy. It's way too hot, you know. So it's interesting when you post a number, everybody gets an opinion, which is great.
What's your opinion on the Chiefs, though? Because, you know, now it's going for a three-peat, it's never happened. I believe you guys have the Chiefs right now here at Circa 5-1. Yeah, plus 550 to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I think the Chiefs run last year was pretty amazing. I do think that the higher you climb, you know, the tougher it is to stay up there. I guess we have to see, you know, how injuries kind of play out. I think the Chiefs, I mean, effectively to win a Super Bowl, you have to avoid a lot of big pitfalls. I mean, there's an element where you have to have a great team, but you also have to have a good schedule. You have to be able to deal with the ups and downs over the course of a season. You have to avoid major injuries, and you have to avoid teams that all of a sudden catch fire that you're playing against, you know. It also kind of helps if you're in the AFC West and you get to play the Chargers, the Raiders. I mean, it's kind of helpful that way. You know?
Yeah, your team, the Lions, are in the exact opposite situation. They're in maybe the toughest division in the entire league to go into it. I'll be honest, I like rooting for teams like the Lions because in Kansas City, it was 30 consecutive years of either bad or mediocrity where you just, like, pray to finally have maybe the quarterback to go with it. So for the Lions, I'm like, yeah, good for you, Lions. I hope you go as far as possible. Kansas City, it's easy to root for teams like the Lions.
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, the Lions got the benefit, I think, of the 2022 season of being the Hard Knocks team and kind of becoming this darling because they were so bad for so long. In my lifetime, going into last season, the Lions have won one single playoff game.
In your whole life?
My life. I was there. It was at the Pontiac Silverdome. The Lions beat the Dallas Cowboys, but it's one playoff game. I mean, that's where you know, we were just doing this thing with like 109 the Hog over here in Milwaukee, and they're giving me some lip service about Lions. I'm like, you're the Packers, my God. You won Super Bowls. You won all these playoff games. You've had for 30 years. You've had a Hall of Fame quarterback, effectively.
Just every year, just in perpetuity, apparently.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying because for a period of time, Chiefs were not a top ticket team, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, clearly the Chiefs have impacted the NFL in such a way that they are such a fun team. I remember, this goes back a ways, my God, probably 20-some years ago, when the greatest show on turf?
Yeah, the Rams. Yeah.
The Rams were amazing, and that fired people up. And it in some ways, I thought the excitement of the Chiefs kind of did the same thing for football.
And more fans are traveling. We're excited. We're going to be back out here in October for the Chiefs and Raiders and kind of Arrowhead West. I mean, Chiefs fans take over when they come out here, and so we're excited to host a party out here in October. We were here in February for the Super Bowl, so Chiefs fans are starting to make Vegas home more and more, and certainly Circa as well.
Yeah, I mean, from Circa, obviously we're very sports-orientated, and, you know, Chiefs weekend is a weekend that we've got circled. We love Chiefs fans here. You know, we are effectively the home of the visiting team. We are not a Raiders place at all, and definitely Chiefs. Chiefs is the biggest weekend of the year, biggest weekend of the NFL year for us.
I got to at least ask you about your giant laminated sign behind. Somebody earlier dropped off a laminated sign for me. It was just me losing in the hot dog derby.
Oh, look at that!
This was really unfortunate for me. I think yours might be more entertaining.
Oh my!
Yeah. I'm 0-3 in hot dog races, man. You'd handicap me at minus, I don't know, plus 10,000 at this point to actually win one in my life.
That was at a Royals game, Derek,
a week or so ago. Never forget. Yeah, I mean, we're selling these. These are the big schedules. These, you know. I'm walking around with this thing everywhere I go this weekend because, you know, it's not like at Circa, like people are like, hey, who do you like in week one? No, they're coming up to me. I'm in the middle of a group session. Like, hey, I'm really sweating out week 11. What do you think? You know, I got to have something with me. And every bar I go to, I got to have this thing with me.
Yeah, you got to figure out which one you're going outside of that.
Yeah.
I really like the way that it's set up because it gives me a little bit of a sense of who I should be avoiding. Because, like, some of the color coding, I hate choosing Thursday night games for Survivor. I hate it. It just, like, those games are so, especially, like, divisional games, get the hell out of here. I want nothing to do with it. Those games are traps.
That is true. You know, we filmed last year a documentary about Circus Survivor, and we had our first episode come out earlier this week. Episodes 2, 3, 4, and 5 come out next week. And I would say there are some people that took Thursday night games. And when they did and they won, you wouldn't believe how villainous these individuals
are. Oh, yeah, you're just rooting against everybody. You feel so good.
They root for carnage. They root for game cancellations. These generally nice people, by Friday, if they're already, you know, in the house, you know, they are rooting for some very dastardly things.
It is a good feeling. It is a good feeling.
Just like, I hope you have fun the rest of the weekend as you're just feeling comfortable and happy. Yeah.
For Circa Million, Circa Survivor, people, as long as they come out by that Saturday, right? The Saturday before the start of the season?
Yeah, I recommend September 6th. Be out here by the Friday. September 7th, the cutoff is 2. It's a hard 2 o'clock. But the lines will be so long, it'd be pretty difficult to get in. So I recommend getting out by the Friday. It's $1,000 to enter either Circa Millions or Circa Survivor. Proxies are abundant and available, so you can play from anywhere. Both contests of their type will be the largest football contest of their type in history. And legal is important. And the reason I say legal, you know, it's one thing to play, you know, with your buddies or in a house league or with, you know, a few groups. You know, and you know, $1,000, $10,000, okay. By the time you get to $100,000, you better kind of know who's holding the money.
Yeah,
but we're way past that when we're guaranteed $10 million. You got to play a legal league because you remember a few years ago, there's a couple of big leagues out of New York that vanished on week 16, mm-hmm. and they still haven't found where that $3 million went.
Yeah, that's never going to be found. That's for sure. Derek, honored to have you on the show. We're excited to be out here. We're excited to come back in October. Been telling Chiefs fans it's going to be the place to be to get set for Chiefs Raiders in October 26th or so.
Yeah, right. It's the weekend, just before Halloween. I would say that particular weekend, it's always like this for Chiefs Raiders weekend. I do recommend booking your hotel room early. We will be sold out at some point in September.
Ooh.
So it's not like a last minute deal. And again, we're going to be the home for Chiefs fans in Vegas. It'll be at Circa Las Vegas. So love to see you and love to see a lot of Chiefs fans here.
Great stuff. Derek Stevens, owner, CEO of Circa Resorts, kind enough to join us here talking about the big contest weekend we got going on and, of course, some advice there a little bit. And, yeah, I think we're taking this grid home, Cody, with us because this thing's going to help us out throughout
Drew
the season.
Drew was complimenting it via text.
Yeah, well, we want to make some ground here in the Survivor. We don't want to be knocked out early, man. We got to map this thing out and get to work on that. So this is going to be really, really cool to have. And, Circa, we've been telling you guys throughout the week already, just being out here, how amazing it is to take in a football game at Stadium Swim, to go to the world's largest sports book, all of that in October. And as he said, I guess it's going to be a very busy weekend already when we're out here for the Chiefs Raiders week. So if you're planning on coming out to Circa and joining us that for our party and everything, and you're staying at Circa, sounds like you want to get those rooms reserved as soon as possible.
Yeah, I would say that's probably for the best, especially if you want to come sit with us and be on at the same, be at the same location with us and make sure that, we're having a good time together at Circa Swim.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Tim Murray from VSiN. Get his perspective on how to attack this Chiefs season from a betting angle, whether it's week one against the Ravens where the Chiefs are 3-point favorites, or let's talk some local college football with him, too. He's a big college football guy. Want to ask him about college football playoff odds and the chances of the Missouri Tigers, the Kansas State Wildcats, or the Kansas Jayhawks getting there.
We got to witness true interesting college football talk. Drew, you'd have been so jealous. We're talking college football, MU, KU, K-State, SEC, with a former offensive line coach for the Auburn Tigers and for Boise State. So a guy who's coached.
Yeah, Brad Bedell, know him a little bit. My buddy that still covers Boise State, he works with him now. And so they were at this happy hour.
He's trying to bet gold $1,000 on Missouri making the college football playoff. And then someone strolled in.
Oh, it's so good.
A guy named Cole strolls in, and he is like, I know a lot about college football. I am coming into this conversation. And he came in hot. I mean, that was exactly what he said. He came in hot into this conversation, adamant that Memphis was like a team to watch this year, and Brad was trying to offer him $1,000 about them not making the college football playoff. Boy, it was something.
What was crazy about it, though, Drew, is we're having the good conversation, like Cody said, and out of nowhere, and I know Cole as well. He worked in Houston. And he comes in, he's like, oh, I gotta get in on this conversation. I gotta get in on this conversation. We're like, okay. And he goes, oh, it's a college football. I gotta get in on this conversation. He's like, college football is my background. And I just start dying laughing because he doesn't know what he's trying to talk to. A guy that not only played college ball at Colorado.
He was coaching at Auburn like 2 years ago.
He was an assistant with Brian Harsin at Auburn. He played college ball at Colorado. So the guy knows what the hell he's talking about. And you have this random guy going in and thinking
he came in hot too.
And I was like, oh, that's bold. And then he ended up making the bet on Memphis. He ended up making the bet. He said that Memphis would only lose one game, I think, or something. And
it's a good pick, but
and then Brad, who's the offensive line, former offensive line coach, said, no, they're losing two. And it turns out he knows multiple staff members over at Memphis. So the guy that made the bet on the side that they would only win one game or lose one game is in a bad spot already.
Yeah, so I was a little
it's a good bet, but it's four or five group of five teams. Rob and I actually were talking about it here. Four or five group of five teams that are vying for one spot. So it's a lot tougher for a school like Memphis.
So I'll say, so I do have to ask you this, Gold. So when he had said, I'll bet you $1,000, and then you guys were laughing, and then you shook his hand.
Yeah, but it was.
Did you accept his $1,000 bet?
No.
You shook the man's hand.
Yeah, but it was not for the bet. No, it was we were all laughing and joking, and then he put his hand out. It was more of an acknowledgement.
Oh, okay.
Hey, how's
I saw a handshake, and I thought, is this bet official?
No, he knows the bet was not confirmed. Yeah, the bet was not made. I would not be betting
$1,000. Until Memphis makes it or whatever.
No, mine's not. Mine was about
Missouri. Odds if you're going to bet $1,000.
Well, that's the other thing. It's not, that's not a good thing.
Right.
He's actually right across the Radio Row Hall from
us. Really?
He's sitting down over talking Boise State football. So if you need confirmation, the bet did not happen. I might need it. I can get that for you.
I might need it. I was a little bit worried.
It was just
like,
funny to
I
see.
I saw your hand shake, and I was like,
we shook hands, but it wasn't. It was more of like, that was 30 seconds after he said, do you want to bet? It was like, it was an acknowledgement. Mm.
Somebody pointing out that Raiders weekend in Vegas also happens to be World Series weekend.
That's true.
You want to talk about a great sports weekend to be in Las Vegas.
It's going to be packed, man. Seriously, join us at Circa at the end of October when the Chiefs are playing the Raiders. We're going to have a ton of fun. We're going to be hosting a happy hour party where there will be game day tickets up for grabs, as in that game on Sunday that we're not allowed to specifically mention when we're talking about the tickets, but that game.
For legal purposes mm-hmm. only, mm-hmm. a game that will game. Take place on a Sunday mm-hmm. in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and we will have tickets to that game
That's right.
available to you as part of our party over mm-hmm. at Circus
Web. That weekend as well, guys, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, LSU, Texas A&M, the Sunflower Showdown, Kansas State is that weekend as well.
My goodness.
It's going to be a perfect weekend.
I'm just going to live at the sports book. I'm going to live at Circus Web that weekend. Are you kidding me?
It's going to be a great weekend to be here, man.
Man,
really,
that is an unstoppable grouping. I love it.
It really is going to be. All right, let's talk about the Royals for a little bit, and then we're going to be joined by Tim Murray from VSiN to talk college football and the Chiefs here in about 5 to 10 minutes. The Royals over the next 20 games beginning tonight against the Phillies. We had Cody Decker on the show a little bit earlier today talking about this stretch, and he agreed. Like, this is the gauntlet. I mean, this is a pure gauntlet that they're about to go through. And the question is, like, what do you have to get done there? I think it's not as simple as just saying, well, they got to go, 12-8, or they got to be .500. Well, that's sure, but who are those wins against? If you're telling me that they are somehow below .500 during the next 20-game stretch, did those losses come against the Guardians, or did they all come against the Yankees and the Phillies? Like, there's some nuance that's required, I think, with that.
Sure. I think if they go 10-10, I'm pretty much borderline locking them into a playoff spot. There are only 35 games or so remaining anyway. That would be, 70% of their schedule as it sits anyway, Gold, and so... And they would have gone through the difficult part. I'm not saying there's no decent teams remaining on the schedule, but that would be the difficult part gone, wiped away, washed away at 10-10. Look, they go 12-8. I'm assuming they're in first place. They go 12-8 based on the teams that they have to play, and that of the 20, 7, I know are against the Guardians. So 40% of their entire schedule is against the Guardians. I'm assuming they're in first place if they go 12-8 at the end of this stretch.
But 10-10,
I would lock in right now. I would happily lock it in right now because it wouldn't eliminate them from the division. It would still make it hard, but it would make me feel like they're absolutely going to the playoffs. And that's what I want to secure right now. Step one, make me 100% confident you're a playoff team. And I'm confident they're a playoff team, but not 100% yet.
I am as well. I'll say this, though. Are we not giving them enough credit, I guess, heading into this 20? We're talking about how difficult it is. And it is
But they're difficult.
And it is a brutal schedule. But the Royals are a difficult challenge for these teams. And the Royals have been better than a 500 team post-All-Star break. They've been one of the better teams post-All-Star break. So I feel like we're entering this 20-game stretch almost like afraid of what's ahead. And I get it, right? Like, it's a very tough stretch, but
it'd be really annoying for this whole thing to turn into a pumpkin at midnight, considering all the work they put in. I think that's the true fear.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some truth to the fear that exists, yes.
I hadn't pulled it up in a while. Didn't know. The Royals are 19-11 post-All-Star break. I mean, that's got to be one of the best records in the sport. I mean, that five-game winning streak certainly doesn't hurt their odds. The Royals have the third best record after the All-Star break. The only teams who have been better are the Dodgers by one half of a game and the Padres, who have been the hottest team in the sport. They have been better than the Astros. They have been better than the Yankees. They have been better than the Twins. They've been considerably better than the Orioles, Twins, Guardians. Guardians have a sub .500 record since the All-Star break. Things have been turning back into what had been normal. The Twins have been 17-14. The Royals have been the best team in the American League Central and have the best pitching staff remaining in the American League of the playoff teams, especially of the playoff teams they'll face. Tonight is a perfect example of that. The Phillies are one of the best teams in baseball. But in a start in which the Royals are going to throw out Waka, their fourth starter, a guy who has a sub 3.5 ERA, the Phillies only have Taijuan Walker, who has a 5.69. Man's bordering on Scott Ellerton territory and has only started 12 games for him. So, yeah, I'm not saying other teams shouldn't fear the Royals, too, but it's hard to look at that schedule and not care.
All right, coming up next, we'll be joined by Tim Murray from VSiN right here in Las Vegas. Want to get his perspective on that Week 1 game against the Ravens, where the Chiefs are three-point favorites, and we also want to get his perspective on all three local schools and who has the best chance to end up in the college football playoff. That's coming up next here on 96.5 The Fan.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here in Las Vegas, Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. We are at Circa Resort and Casino for Ultimate Contest Weekend, continuing to tell you about Circa Million and Circa Survivor. Maybe get some tips on that from our guy Tim Murray from VSiN as he joins us here in Vegas from Radio Row. And we were on with you, I think, in February, right? Radio, yeah. You were on during the Super Bowl. You had us on your show. At that point, we were talking about the Chiefs and could they go back-to-back. And now, of course, the story all year is, can they three-peat? Can they be the first team ever to three-peat, man? How are things going with you?
Things are great, man. Yeah, this is such a fun event. I do a morning show. I'm a part of a morning show in Milwaukee. So they came out here. So we were having a blast. And yeah, it's such a neat event. It's blown up over the past couple of years, and it's pretty unique. So, you know, hearing Derek Stevens, I know he was just on your guys' show, and he comes on my show every Thursday, and for him to just try to ratchet up that excitement, and he told us, talking to the Wisconsin folks, I imagine he said similar to you guys, it's like the Midwest is their bread and butter. They love the Midwest. You know, it's Iowa, it's Missouri, it's Illinois, it's Wisconsin, it's Michigan. So he's a Midwest guy. So, yeah, I think he really enjoys having those types of people, you know, come on out here. And, yeah, I mean, you look at the circle. Are you guys going to do it?
We're working people at the station. We're trying to get everybody to jump in with us and do a big intro.
Yeah. I don't know what Derek said to you, but I've kind of changed my tune. So the last couple of years I've done Survivor, and it has not gone well, obviously.
You haven't made it to the end.
I am sitting here, so I am not a millionaire. last year, I was so I'm a big Notre Dame fan. So I went out to the Notre Dame-Ohio State game, and for those who don't recall, Notre Dame had a 14-10 lead with 3 seconds to go, had 10 men on the field, and lost that game 17-14. So after enjoying that heartbreak, I went back to Chicago, met up with my wife, met up with two friends, and I'm sitting there at the bar. We're watching football all day Sunday, and my wife just looks at me and she goes, "You just lost $2,000 on two Survivor." And I'm like, "Yep, yep, I did." Dallas Cowboys lost.
Was she trying to stick the knife in?
Oh, I mean, yeah. It was just
like
yeah.
twisted a little. Hey, so, I know you had a terrible weekend, but I just made it worse.
So I am all in on I'm going to do millions this year.
So you know, you get all year.
All year. And if you stink, you could still find ways to win. If you really stink, you actually win the booby prize. But, yeah, so I'm going to do millions this year. At least it gives you sustained enjoyment throughout the year. But, look, Survivor, man, the concept's pretty simple. Just got to pick a winner.
Yeah, I know. I do like the equity, though, in millions. Like the fact that it's not going to get to $6 million, but they're putting in $6 million either way. That's always like hidden equity's nice.
Plus EV.
Yeah, so you will be definitely – there's a plus EV angle. Derek doesn't think that they'll get to the 6,000 entries they need for Circa Millions. He believes they will get there for Survivor. Survivor is exploded, man. It's really cool. And what's interesting for you guys, right, for folks, your listeners, if they join, the Chiefs are so tough because obviously they're one of the best teams in the league. So you want to make sure, okay, when am I going to use the Chiefs? They play on Thanksgiving. Well, they play Black Friday, which is included in the unique Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
And they play Christmas. So those are their weeks in and of themselves. So in theory, you're probably not using the Chiefs until the 13th week. Are you going to be alive in week 13? So that's the tricky part with Kansas City is they play, you know, Las Vegas at home, which I know holiday Las Vegas games in recent memory have not.
Yeah, but I think they're going to want to stick it to them this time. A little different.
And then, you know, Christmas Day, man, good luck. Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh, goodness gracious. It's Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore, Houston. And then I think the day after Christmas is also a part of it. I think that's Chicago, Seattle. So, yeah, it's – look, if you're making a decision that late in the season, you're doing okay, and that's the goal, is just to make it to one of those tough decisions.
We've got Tim Murray from VSiN joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll get to college football in a second because it's a fascinating season for all three local schools.
I know.
It could be a really fun year.
It's incredible.
But for the Chiefs, they open up as 3-point favorites in week one there against Baltimore, kind of kick off this three-peat campaign. What's your take just on that first game, knowing that it seems like Rashee Rice is not getting suspended and they should have him available, even though Hollywood Brown's unlikely to be there?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm usually by trade like to play dogs. And then I think back the last year, opening up the season, albeit without Kelce and without Chris Jones, but losing that opener. I feel like that's kind of something that is going to be a reminder. Hey, let's not do this again, right? Let's not open up the season with a loss like we did last year to the Lions. And then Baltimore, a lot of kind of the sharper guys that I respect think, not to say that they're going to fall massively back, but they think they believe maybe a little regression.
A little come to earth.
A little bit of regression there. Lamar maybe not having the, you know, another MVP type of season. Look, I think Derrick Henry was a really, really good addition for them, and I kind of think he's got to be a man possessed a little bit there in Baltimore. But, if I could get under three, that would probably be the way I would look. And I think there are some 2.5s out there, so you're starting to see the market move a little bit more towards Kansas City, and maybe we ultimately get there for that Thursday night. But my hunch would be they lost that opener last year to the Lions. They're not going to want to repeat that. And, you know, even though maybe, you know, there are a couple things here and there, I'm going to ask you guys. So my co-host, it came out a little more hot takey than I wanted it to. So we were filling in. My co-host, his name is Jonathan Von Tobel. We do VSiN Primetime. And we were filling in the morning show. And I don't remember how I phrased it, but we were looking at Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I said, don't play Xavier Worthy.
Oh, no. We're all in the same boat.
I'm with you.
It's a fool's bet.
Because I'm like, I get it. Like, everyone's going to be like, Patrick Mahomes gets this shiny new toy. He ran a 4-2-1. I'm like, yeah, he's probably going to have some flashes. But, like, is he going to have the sustained success? Let's just look at the wide receivers. Marvin Harrison Jr., number one option in Arizona. Malik Nabers. Who else is playing wide receiver for the New York Giants? Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. If you want to include Bo Nix, I don't think he'll win it, but Bo Nix. Like, I get it, but his odds to me are way too short because he plays with Patrick Mahomes.
It's not just his odds. His yardage total number got
750 high. And a half seems too high for us,
got
too.
Right.
And you guys would know better than me, but Rashee Rice, remind me, he was kind of like, ooh, Rashee Rice, he's going to have a great rookie year. And they have flashes, but, like, dude, Travis Kelce's still there, man. Like, he's going to spread the ball out. He doesn't need – I thought the drafting of Xavier Worthy was a smart draft.
Yeah.
Why not?
Let's get people excited.
Let's get him to do some go routes with Patrick Mahomes, and there's going to be pops. There's no doubt. But to win it, Offensive Rookie of the Year, I think it's a silly bet. And I think I just said don't bet them. And I don't know, maybe I said there's no chance he'll win it, which might have been a little hyperbolic.
Well, I mean, I kind of agree with you. I put out a video a week or so ago at the station that said the very
true.
Very same thing. He was at 1.20 to 1. He's down, what, to 14
like 16
to 1?
16 to 1?
Something
I'm
like that.
Come on. Like,
it's not just his own production, but we were discussing Puka Nacua had a historically great season as a rookie. And I know so did C.J. Stroud to win Rookie of the Year. But Puka didn't win that thing. And you're telling me that even if Xavier Worthy went out and let's say had an unbelievable rookie season, 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns, which would be insane. I don't think doing that. If Caleb Williams has just a decent year, he's winning the award. I just don't think it's a good bet at all.
It's like some of this, and like this is like a personal betting edict, which is I really get tired of the like, there's no value in it. There's value in it if you know the result. Caleb Williams is winning Rookie of the Year. Scottie Scheffler is going to win this tournament, and Patrick Mahomes was always going to be the Super Bowl MVP. There's value in it if it is a fact. And as far as I'm concerned, Caleb Williams winning Rookie of the Year is a fact. It's not like it's not a question.
Can I get the field versus you?
The whole field?
Yeah, maybe. I get the whole field.
You're saying it's a sure thing? So
I think he's winning it. Yeah.
So I think right now, actually at Circa, you can probably bet the field. Actually, I don't know if you could bet the field in Offensive Rookie of the Year. I took a bet on Jaden Daniels, and it has nothing to do with me being from D.C., because I actually despise that franchise to an extent. But here at Circa, it crept out. Like, I got it at plus 775, and you actually could have got it at 8-1 at one point. Now it's come a little bit back down to earth. But, I get your rationale. I think Caleb Williams should be really, really good in some of the pops that he's had so far. But to me, I felt like Jaden probably should have been in that, like, 3-4-1
yeah,
range. So I was like, at this price, I think Jaden Daniels has the capabilities. He's a big-time runner. I certainly have worries about the weapons outside of Terry McLaurin for him to work with. Ben Sinnott, who you guys know from Kansas State, I think could have a really good role in that offense. I know Cliff Kingsbury was kind of stomping on the table, like, we need to get this guy in that second round. So, I think Offensive Rookie of the Year, kind of like National League Rookie of the Year, is fascinating right now. That discussion, Skeens versus Merrill, I think Offensive Rookie of the Year, because you have so many quarterbacks, because we didn't have a defensive player drafted to what, 15th? So everybody's been an offensive player, the first 14 players. So high-profile guys, a lot of them are going to get opportunities very early. I mean, I don't think he'll win it, but like Ladd McConkey's supposed to be the number one receiver with the Chargers.
Yeah, Justin Herbert will still find a way to throw for 4,000 yards.
If he stays healthy, that's the issue there.
That's the issue. Herbert doesn't stay healthy, and McConkey actually never really stayed healthy at Georgia, too. And then look, Keon Coleman's a guy that, like, could he be the number – he won't be the number one targets. That's going to be Dalton Kincaid, but he might be the number one receiver.
Because Curtis Samuel's never really been
I think Khalil Shakir might have a bigger year than
We had Paul Charchi in on.
Yeah, he's very high.
He's very Khalil high on Shakir. Khalil Shakir.
Well, we'll have Paul Charchi on next week.
That's his kind of sleeper guy for sure. We got Tim Murray from we've got Tim Murray from VSiN joining us. Go ahead. Sorry, Cody.
No, I was going to say, speaking of the college football, we said we're going to ask that.
Yeah, yeah.
We think all three locals have a real chance to be in the college football playoff: Missouri, Kansas, and Kansas State. If you were betting it, just from like the perspective of best odds you're getting versus odds you think you'll make there, who would you go with? KU, K-State, or Missouri?
I wouldn't do Kansas just because of the uncertainty of Jaden Daniels. And it's a bummer, but I think that the fact that they have no home field all year long, I don't think that's a massive issue. But, like, the Iowa State game, for example. Like, I was talking to someone who covers Iowa State. I'm like, how many Iowa State fans are going to go to Arrowhead? He's like, oh, we're taking that stadium over.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you think about that. You lose Andy Koltunicki. But it's just the health of Jaden Daniels. We were talking about it, I think, yesterday at the bar. And it was like, yeah, if he stays healthy, this team could win 10 wins or 10 games. I'm like, yeah, for sure. Can he stay healthy? He's never really done it, right? And there's just that – there's not that safety net of Jason Veen there for Kansas. So I would eliminate them. I think it comes down to, you know, based off of the odds, I would probably go Kansas State because you get a little bit more juice on it than Missouri. Missouri's so fascinating to me because of the schedule is Charmin soft out of the chute, right? You play in Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College,
could
Vanderbilt.
Could be 6-0 to start.
And then the Texas A&M game, I'm telling
Tricky.
You – oh, man, Texas A&M's legit defensively. Like, this team is going to – eat nails. Like, they are going to get after you. Week one, they've now moved to a 3-point favorite against Notre Dame. And, you know, I put out this tweet on earlier this week, and people were losing their minds. Like, how could they be doing this? Vegas is making a mistake. I'm like, Notre Dame's got a questionable offensive line, and that's the strength of Mike Elko and that team. They've got legit pros on that defense. So I think October 5th at Texas A&M is going to be a challenge. Obviously a challenge to go on the road to Tuscaloosa October 26th. But from a schedule standpoint, right, Missouri is missing Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, LSU, no Tennessee on this schedule. So from the scheduling standpoint, there's a lot of intrigue. The returning of production is obviously huge. How big of a loss is Blake Bell as their defensive coordinator? That remains to be seen. And it's crazy because he was a running back, but everything that I understand, Cody Schrager was apparently like just the heart and soul of that team. And I know they went out and they got the kid from Nate Noel from Kennesaw State, and then Marcus Carroll. I had Cole Kubelik on my podcast, and he's like, dude, watch tape of Marcus Carroll from Georgia State. This guy is a truck. So I was like, okay. I mean, they got the dudes. You got a quarterback.
He could recruit. That was never his problem.
You've got an elite superstar wide receiver. But Kansas State, I think the upside's there, and I think the Big 12, I've said this continuously this offseason, guys. The Big 12 is going to be the most entertaining conference in the country this year. They're going to beat up on each other. Only one team's going to emerge. I think it's going to be like a Royal Rumble. I really only think one team is going to get to the college football playoff. But Kansas State, look at the odds. They have the second shortest odds to win that conference. And it all comes down to, in my opinion, Avery Johnson.
Yeah, is he as good?
I mean, you talk about Xavier Worthy, his odds shortening. Avery Johnson started one game last year, right? The bowl game. And I know he had moments. He's down to 25-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. Like, he is a buzz guy, but he's a dual threat guy. And the Heisman race this year, I think, will be really intriguing too, because now we've got this expanded field. So now does a quarterback of the 10th best team in the country have a chance to win it? Where in recent years, it felt like, yeah, you kind of have to be a top four team and be the quarterback, and maybe you'll win it. Like, you know, last year, Jaden Daniels won it. Why did he win it? Because he was awesome. And also Bo Nix, you know, vomited on himself in the Pac-12 championship game when he was a -185 favorite going into that game.
So, Tim, you said one team from the Big 12 you think will make it out to the college football playoff. Yep. SEC, how many ultimately do they get? Because Missouri, if they finish top four, that's what we've talked about. Hey, if Missouri, your schedule's soft by SEC standards, if you can finish top four, you're in. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think if you're top four in the SEC, you're probably getting in. With that schedule, you know, the interesting thing about the Missouri schedule, let's say they go 10-2, lose to A&M and Bama. You know, what are they going to the table with saying, hey, we have this win, right? So that's where you
just say 10-2 and we're in the SEC.
And we're in the SEC. So I think four teams in the SEC are getting in. I did this exercise the other day. It's all about Notre Dame. Do you think Notre Dame can get in? Right now they're an odds-on favorite to make the college football playoff. But four from the SEC, three from the Big Ten, two from the ACC, in my opinion, one from the Big 12, the G5, and then I think there's that swing one, that last one. Is it Notre Dame? Is it another SEC? Is it another Big Ten? So I think SEC, I think the number DraftKings set was 4.5. I think that's accurately priced. And, I don't think it would be crazy to see five SEC teams. We'll definitely get it at some point. But I would guess right now, I think because of Notre Dame's schedule, I think they probably will get in. But it doesn't all come down to this, but if they win week one, Notre Dame beats Texas A&M, just pencil them in. They're getting in the playoff because their schedule after that, they'll be a favorite in every single game. They only have three true road games this entire year, at Texas A&M, at Purdue, who stinks, and then final game of the season at USC. So the schedule really sets up well. They get Florida State at home, Louisville at home. They've got a veteran defense. But the funny thing will be this, because you guys now live in SEC country, so you get to enjoy that, right?
A little of both.
Yeah, so Notre Dame loses to Texas A&M. They finish 7th in the SEC. Oh, man, the South is going to be like, they stink. They don't deserve to be in there. So it's going to lead to a lot. But I don't know if I answered your question. I think I would take Kansas State. My order would be Kansas State, Missouri, Kansas, just because I just – the Jalen Daniels thing, man. If you could tell me he's playing 12 games,
sure.
Sweet.
Right. Let's
get to the window. Let's bet some Kansas.
Yeah. Last year, they were as simple as if they had Jalen Daniels, they were one of the 10 best teams in the country, and if they didn't, they weren't that good.
Right.
Turns out quarterback play might matter.
Yeah, it's a little. And once again, Jason Bean proved to be quite the safety net to have.
Yeah.
And they went 9-4 last year, thumped UNLV in their bowl game. Like, I talked about it a lot last year. I was like, I don't know, man, all these close losses that Kansas had, it seems like a prime candidate for some regression. It wasn't. They won 9 games, you know, if you include the bowl game.
Tim, before we let you go, you worked with our boss at one point in time. You got any scoop?
I did.
You got any scoop for us here?
What's the worst thing Speck ever did, you know?
I don't know the worst thing that he ever did. I guess, you know, all of us working $10 an hour was quite a way to work our way in, you know, running the board on Orioles games at like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah.
Another win for the Orioles, cutting up those highlights. But I told you guys this off air. I'll tell a quick story about Steven, which was I wasn't there this day. I was actually working in minor league baseball, but he was producing over the summer, and an earthquake happened in the D.C. area. We never get earthquakes. Yeah. It was like a 4-point whatever. It was pretty cool. And they still have the audio. You should ask him for it, because the host, his name was Kevin Sheehan, he goes, Steven, did we just have an earthquake? And you hear him coming. He's like, yeah, I think we did. He's like, huh. And they're like, the mics were shaking a little bit. So, yeah. We worked for the irony of as I called him, Spectre. I don't know if people.
Yeah.
The irony of Spectre was that he was always a Chiefs fan, but he's from D.C., you know? So, like, I remember when he got the job in Kansas City to come out here to produce. And I think our program director at the time was like, yeah, Steven got a job in his hometown. He's a big Chiefs fan. I'm like,
what's from his hometown?
What the Bullis? He's from Maryland, man. What are you talking about? He just didn't want to cheer for the god-awful Washington football franchise.
And who could blame him, you know?
None of us can. So, yes, smart choice, and no, I'm thrilled for his success. It's pretty awesome to hear you say he's your boss. But, hey. That's sometimes the way it works here in this crazy business.
Tim Murray from VSiN. Appreciate the insight, man. It's going to be a fun rest of the weekend, Ultimate Contest weekend, and then I'm sure we'll check in maybe to get some thoughts from you in the season on the local schools.
Anytime, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right, you go. Tim Murray joining us here from Circa Resort and Casino on 96.5 The Fan. We'll talk a little bit more about what he had to say, in particular about Missouri and how things could shape out for them the rest of the season. On top of that, I want to get to the random question of the day.
We'll just say random question because I do not have it pulled up.
Random question!
I'm making cuts of Tim.
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry.
For you, Drew, for you, Gold, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Or, of course, over on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, where we live stream the show. You could have seen Tim Murray on camera if you wanted to.
Yeah.
At Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, or Facebook at TheFan965 or 965TheFan. What I have a question for you today came up last night at the bar. We're here. We're at the Circa Millions and Circa Survivor for their big weekend where they're getting everybody registered. And so we had a chance to catch up with one of the previous winners. But because before that conversation, someone said, hey, if you won $16 million, would you quit your job? And I said, I'd be gone tomorrow. I would quit. So he's like, you're a liar. You'd still work. It was Zach Gelb, actually,
Over
at Infinity Sports Network. He said, you're full of it. And so we asked the gentleman who won like a million
wearing
bucks,
a blue jacket.
Wearing the blue jacket, if he quit his job when he was done. He's like, are you kidding? No. And then he said, he's like, no, I wouldn't give the money back and the taxes and after all that stuff. It's not as much as you think, but yeah. No, I didn't quit my job.
Because I think he won. He split it with some friends. So he won, you know, $700,000+. And we're like, do you still have a full-time job? He's like, yes.
So the question I have for you is, what is the amount of money someone would have to give you today to stop working forever? Not quit your job. That's a different thing because I could just find another job. To never work another day in your life, what is the dollar amount someone would have to cut a check to you today?
I think we're right around the dollar amount.
I think $10 million
has to be over 10. It has to be over 10.
Yeah.
$10 million and I'm gone.
I think it has to be. That's with taxes and everything?
Yeah, $10 million clean.
Clean?
$10 million fresh.
I think $15 million or more.
Drew, what's your number?
Well, I've said on the show on record multiple times that if I won the lottery, I would still keep on working. So I feel like my number is like, you give me $100 million, $200 million, oh, maybe.
$10 million and I'd quit.
Has to be north of 10, though. Cody's number is getting lower by the day.
Here's the thing about the 10. If it's 10 tax-free, $8 million directly into the bank account. Right, directly into the interest-bearing accounts that will just let me live off of the interest forever. Then the rest of that's more than enough to set up the rest of whatever lifestyle I'm thinking. I don't need to live in a 17-bedroom house. That's never really been my vibe anyway. So, I could figure out a way to be like, all right, this $2 million's going to, I don't know, buy a new car, buy a new house, set yourself up, do anything you need to do, have, some runway so that you don't have to dip into the interest part of the account for a couple of years, and then a couple of years after that, then I could just live off the interest for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I think it's got to be north of $10 million to just be like, I'm actually done.
Well, yeah, because I think that's the thing. So let me give you an example, Cody. If I get $10 million and I'm like, I'm done, but I still do my podcast, that doesn't count, right?
I wouldn't do that. I know that we make this joke on this show that I, like most people in radio, want attention, be like, well, where would you get that attention? Anywhere. I don't care. I'll be fine. I don't need to host a podcast. You wouldn't hear me. It'll be like, the Cody Tapp Show, a one-hour podcast, 3 days a week. No, I'd just be done. What I'm asking you is the number for you to quit it. Not like it's a choice. The number for you to go away. They're saying, Alex, no more media. You're done. It's over. You got to quit it. You got to hang it all up. No betting show, no Cody and Gold, no podcast. You're done. The rest of your life, you don't do any more media stuff. You just live off your money.
and never have any other job. Period.
I think that number is at least $100 million.
It's $10 million or more. It's above $10 million.
I think it's at least $100 million because
$100 million. I think that is way too high.
I like what I do too much for me to not.
I like what I do too. I don't know $100 million like it.
I think it's got to be the minimum though is $10 million, Cody.
For me
to
not do
anything under that, it's not. It's what's that, Drew?
For me to not do anything for the rest of my life. Like me,
well, nobody can play golf.
You
can bake. I don't care what you do with your time. You just can't do media.
Yeah, you have to give me at least $100 million.
Okay, all right. That just seems very, very high. Someone says $1 billion. Okay, all right.
How
much do you like your job, sir?
That's very.
Like you could still go. Like I could go teach at UMKC. You could go teach at a high school. I don't care what you do with the rest of your time. You just have to quit media forever.
I'm not teaching 16-year-old kids if I've got $15 million in the bank. I'll tell you that. Are you kidding me?
No.
Why would I deal with that? Are you kidding
me? Just whatever you know. Whatever your possible other passion is, man. That's all.
Absolutely not. That's like the last. Like I'm all about like, but not if you also have $15 million. Not that age group too. That seems like the worst. Bunch of like smart ass.
No, middle school's the worst.
16-year-old.
Middle school is the most awkward time of every single person's life. Middle school is the grade I'd never teach. Not a million years.
I mean, yeah.
High school, there's like you're still going through some stuff, but it's high school. Middle school.
Someone says you guys should have had when you had the owner of the casino on, if he still works and he's a billionaire. A little bit different. He's living the life every single day.
Every single day. Technically, he still is working if he's still the owner.
That's true.
But
it was funny last night at this happy hour. There was all these past winners wearing their blue jackets, everybody that had won the contest. And so we were getting their thoughts on what it was like also, and then just how did it come together. He said, the guy that we talked to, he won the contest, and some buddies said, hey, I'm in for, $1,300.
He's like, you want to go halvesies?
And he's like, yeah, sure, why not? And the next thing you know, they end up winning the contest. They chopped it up. I mean, that's how it can happen, man. That's how it can happen.
That's a wild way for it
to
happen.
You split the money up. Next thing you know, you're wearing a blue jacket. It's that simple.
Look, I love my job enough that I'm still down.
Dude, $25 million, you quit today. We'd never hear from Drew again.
Drew's saying it's going to take $100 million for him to not work.
If I won $100 million, if I won $90 million, I would be at work tomorrow, and I'd be at work a year from now. I'd still be doing the podcast. We'd still be talking about. I'd still be in contact with you guys, 100%.
Okay.
100%.
All right. Coming up next, let's talk about 13 days from now. That is the opener for the Chiefs and the Ravens, and a couple questions that certainly remain right here on Cody and Gold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.